I wanted to do a message today titled, Why Should I Be a Part of a Church Family? We took five people into membership a little earlier, and they just are identifying with this church body. But I want to ask a question. Why should anybody here or anybody in Walton, why should anybody be a part of a church family? And I want to answer that during the message. I came across a reading titled The Need to Belong, and I want to tell the story behind it. It comes from a devotional book by Dr. Harold Sala, but here's what he wrote. It was a downtown area, and an unshaven ex-con walked up to a well-dressed businessman and said, "Sir, you look friendly." And this individual began to tell the other man the sad story of his life. And then he asked him a question. He says, "Will you do something for me?" And the businessman said, "Yes, if I can." And here's what he asked. "Well, sir, not a soul in the world cares if I live or die. So would you mind just thinking about me for a couple of weeks? If I could think that someone somewhere was thinking about me as a human being, why, it would be worth so much to me." An individual just wanted to know somebody else was thinking about it. The big idea of the message today is this. We as human beings are hardwired for community. God has made us in His image, which means we are like Him. And there's something inside us that yearns for a connection beyond ourselves. We want purpose in life and meaningful connection with other people. It's called community. And in the text that Paul read, there's one verse that's in your notes. I want us to read that together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Circle the word fellowship. It's the word in the Greek, it means koinonia. And let me explain that word. It's a Greek word which means a deep, intimate connection, shared life among believers. There's social interaction. There's mutual support. There's accountability. There's a sense of being on mission together. In short, it's about community, and it's about a heart experience in life. Everybody in Walton is wired for community. Now, here's the issue. We try and fulfill it in different places. Now, I have to say, when I think about all the opportunities that people have today to connect with groups, it's like unlimited. There are a lot of sports activities. People just go all in for sports. There's a sense of community in that. How about the Kiwanis or the Lions Club? There's PTA. There's all these groups of wonderful, good-hearted people that just want to do good things. Nothing wrong with them. But the church family experience is a notch above the rest. It does something for us that no other group, no other club can accomplish. And so today, as we think about koinonia, this sense of community that we all need in our hearts, where we connect with other human beings and there's a big picture purpose, we're on mission together. Let me tell you, that makes the difference in any person's life. And so to answer the question, why should any person be a part of a church family? I want to share with you today six benefits. There are many, but I want to share six of them that make a huge difference as you think about your life in relation to a local church body or family. All right, in your notes, let's get started. Number one, the first benefit of being a part of a church family is this. The church family will last forever. Read with me Revelation 21. It's in your notes. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Circle this sentence. They will be his people. There's a phrase in there that says, at the end of the book of Revelation, as we go through a whole lot of time to get to that point, but there will be a time where the church family will be gathered together in heaven. You and I will be a part of that. If we have a faith in Christ, there will be a future experience where we will be gathered around the throne of God, and he will be our God, and we will be his people. The church family will live and last forever. Now, I have to say, some people have an incredible gift in their life with their biological family. I know people in this congregation and your kids, your grandkids, and people are blessed with amazing family connections. There's others that maybe your family biologically has not been real good. I mean, I felt I had a mixed bag. Mom lived to be 85. She was the full package of mom to me. Dad died when I was 14. He was 43, and life's never perfect. And sometimes you get it here, and you might come up short over here. And so you may be sitting here today, and you say, you know what? My family is not what I really would have wanted it to be. You know what the secret is? The family of God will last forever, and God wants his people through a local church body to be family to each other. And in so doing, we experience this thing called community, this sense of connection with other human beings. And so Rick Warren has a quote. I'll have Jake put it up. "Your spiritual family is more important than our physical family because it will last forever." If you have an amazing biological family, the family you grew up in, and you have people in your life that love you and you love them, that's awesome. So glad. And hopefully they're a part of the church family too, but everybody has the opportunity of being a part of a church family that's going to live forever. And point number one, benefit one, be a part of a local church, because that body is going to show up in Revelation chapter 1 in the future, chapter 21. We're just going to be a part of the spiritual family, those that believe in Christ. All right, number two. The second benefit is this. It's a worldwide family. Read with me Revelation 5 in your notes. "And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth." Let's talk about the worldwide church family. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and his blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins, and he offers salvation to any who believe, it says they come from every tribe, language, people, and nation. We are part of a worldwide family. We often don't think of it that way because we just live here in Walton, New York. Here's a quote. Church is not something you go to. It's a family you belong to. The church is people. And the more you are enriched with good people, that's your family. And it's worldwide. I dug up a couple of pictures from Kenya. Here's the first one. This is Pastor Paul and Pastor Peter. Now, we met these two guys years back in Kenya. Do you realize they're part of the family? You don't know them, unless you were on that trip and you met them, but they're a part of the worldwide family. Here's another picture. These are just kids. And if they're believers in Jesus, they are a part of our family. It's worldwide. It's huge. It's big. Millions and millions of people that we will know sometime in the future, but we don't know them now. We're a part of a worldwide family. So number one, it lasts forever. Number two, it's worldwide. Number three, this is a big one. The third benefit is this. It's where I experience life change through a personal relationship with Jesus. If you want to know what separates a church family from another club or organization in the community, it's this one. It's called grace. And when we experience the grace of God, our lives come into a change because of His mercy to make us better people. God wants you and me to be the best version of ourselves. He helps us with addictions. He helps us with our language. He helps us with our attitudes. He helps us with how we respond when we get mad. It's who He is. And the better we become, the more effective we are as His children. So read with me, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. I came across something from Chuck Swindoll, just a great man of God, and he tells the story. It's called Lessons from the Tavern. And here's what he says. He was a former Marine, and he ran into an old Marine friend. And here's how the story goes. An old Marine Corps buddy of mine, to my pleasant surprise, came to know Christ after he was discharged. I say surprise because he cursed loudly, he fought hard, he chased women, he drank heavily, he loved war and weapons, and he hated chapel service. That's checking a lot of boxes. A number of months ago, I ran into this fellow, and after we talked a while, he put his hand on my shoulder and said, "You know, Chuck, the only thing I still miss is the old fellowship I used to have with all the guys down at the tavern. I remember how we would sit around and let our hair down. I can't find anything like that for Christians. I have no longer a place to admit my faults, talk about my battles, or somebody won't preach at me or frown or quote a verse to me." Now, Chuck then ran across this paragraph a little bit later. Here's what he wrote. The neighborhood bar is possibly the best counterfeit there is to the fellowship of Christ that he wants to give in his church. It's an imitation dispensing liquor instead of grace, escape rather than reality. It is permissive, it's accepting, and it's inclusive fellowship, and he says, it is unshockable. Now, here's what he's saying. The church needs to be a place of receiving people, and may it be an unshockable place. What does that mean? When somebody comes through the door and their life is heavy laden with a dark past, we need to be able to receive them with grace. Now, here's the big difference between the bar and the church. The church dispenses grace. The bar dispenses liquor. And so there's an escape in the bar, but at church, you deal with the reality, and through Christ, we experience life change, and we become better people. The big differentiator of a church family compared to anything else you and I can get involved with in our lives is that the church is a dispenser of this thing called grace. Now, I got to clarify this. The building doesn't dispense grace. The only thing that dispenses grace is individual people. And the church family is a collection of grace dispensers. And the more people can focus on that, the more receiving and welcoming a church family can become. Let me say this. You know where grace dispensing starts? In the home. It's how husbands and wives talk to each other. It's how kids talk to their parents. It's how parents talk to their kids. It goes both ways. Grace must be dispensed. The challenge this morning is be a grace dispenser wherever you go. What does that mean? When we get angry, try and dial it back. Be careful of the words that come out of our mouths. When we're in a tough situation, do we lash out? What comes out of our mouth? What's our attitude? Grace reigns in on it over time. And over time, we become a higher level version of ourselves because of a life change in allowing Jesus to work through us. You know what people are looking for in Walton, New York, and around the world? They're looking for a place that they'll be received and loved on, and at the same time, they can work on their lives. We need to be unshockable. What does that mean? When somebody comes through the door, you just love them. You just receive them. And over time, let that person experience grace for themselves. Here's a couple quotes. The evidence of Jesus Christ in lives is lives changed. You know, that's the bottom line. It's just the evidence is when lives get changed through Christ. Here's another one. My life changed when I learned to trust in God. So someone comes through the door, and it happens to all of us. We learn to trust in God. Our lives get changed. The church family is the place where that life change can happen. Be a part of it. You know how? Be a grace dispenser to every person you meet. Some will be more of a challenge than others. We all get that. They're the ones that test us. But may your life and mine be marked by being a grace dispenser wherever I go. That's the calling we have on our lives. You know why? The guy who talked to the businessman in the opening story, he just wanted to know that somebody would be thinking about him for 2 weeks. It's called community, hardwired for a personal connection. There's a need in each of our lives that we want fulfilled in that way. So number one, the church family is forever. Number two, it's worldwide. It's amazing. Number three, it's where I experience life change through Christ. Number four, the fourth thing is this. It's where you and I can give and receive encouragement. Read with me, Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Encourager. In the book of Acts, there's a guy by the name of Barnabas, and it means encouragement, encourager. Be a Barnabas when you come to church. Be a Barnabas when you go to work. What's that mean? Just walk into somebody's sphere and just encourage them. I've got an assignment for everybody here. The remainder of this day, I want you to find at least one person just to encourage. It's pretty simple. But make it a habit or a lifestyle. Become a world-class encourager that when people know you're coming, they're glad to see you. There's some people we don't want to see. You know why? They take away. But there's people we do like to be around. You know why? They're just encouraging. They speak good words into our lives. All right, here's a quote. We rise by lifting others. Be a lifter. How do you do it? You help just lift other people, and you yourself end up rising in the process. And so it's a lifestyle principle. You can become an amazing encourager in your workplace, in your family. Maybe your goal is become the best encourager of everybody in your family. Outshine everybody else. I mean, do it tactfully, but just make a commitment to deposit good things through grace into people's lives. Build them up. We rise by lifting other people. Number five. Fifth thing about benefit of being a part of a church family is this. It's a place where I can discover and use my spiritual gifts. Read with me, 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Everybody here is a 10 out of a 10 in some area. You are good at something. You just got to know what you're good at. Many here are good at more than one thing. It's two or three or four things. And the more you know about your gifting, the more effective you can be in serving other people. Now, Max Lucado, I've shared this before, has a term. He calls it the sweet spot. And the sweet spot is where you know what you're good at. And you then have an opportunity to exercise those gifts. And when those two things come together, you feel like $1 million. You do it because you love it. Just because you want to, you enjoy it. It's who you are. It's that intersection where you serve somebody else using your giftings, and you feel fulfilled and contentment. You know, through the years, we have a spiritual gifts inventory that we have people complete, and it kind of tells you what your giftings are. And I decided to put a sign-up sheet on the table. And if there's anybody here that would like to take that, on a Sunday morning, we'll probably arrange a date over the next couple of months where we'll get together. You can take this spiritual gifts inventory, and it'll give you a good indication of how you're wired. So if you'd like to do that and you haven't done it yet, you can sign it up and we'll see how many there might be. The point is this. Know what you're good at. God has deposited inside each person here certain things that when you use them to serve other people, let me tell you, that is the place called the sweet spot or fulfillment in life. So number five is where I discover and use my spiritual gifts. And finally, number six. The sixth benefit is this. I skipped a quote. Go ahead and put it up, Jake. When you find your spiritual gift, God will give you an opportunity to use it. There's plenty of them out there. God will make that happen. All right. Number six. The sixth benefit is this. It's a covering over your life. You put number six up, Jake. All right. It provides a covering over your life. Let's read together Genesis 39:5. From the time Potiphar put him, Joseph, in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. Now, let me explain that verse. So Joseph was God's man, but for 13 years he got bounced around. He was in prison. It was a preparation time. And at the age of 30, he became elevated to the number two person in Egypt. He was the administrative overseer. But this was during the 13 years. Now, I want you to notice what happened. Joseph goes into Potiphar's house as a servant. And it says The entire house of Potiphar was blessed because of who? Joseph. Joseph had something on his life that was a covering. I brought with me an umbrella just to as a visual. Joseph had the blessing of God on his life. He goes to a place called Potiphar's house. Potiphar is an Egyptian. He's not a believer. Joseph was. But everything in Potiphar's house got blessed. We call it the umbrella blessing. Do you realize you have an umbrella blessing on your life? You might be the only believer in your home. You know what? God will bless the people around you just because of who you are. So Joseph goes into Potiphar's house as a servant, and it says that God just blessed everything he put his hands to. Do you know who benefited from it? Potiphar. Was Potiphar a believer? No. It was because Joseph was there. You have this thing called a blessing on your life when you serve God, and wherever you go, the umbrella blessing can impact and touch other people, and they don't even know it. There could be someone today, someone walk into the church, and their life is a mess. They aren't even a believer. But because of the umbrella blessing over a group of people, their life can get blessed, and they can experience life change. Sometimes we all start out as a Potiphar. We all start there. We come in under somebody else's covering. They're further ahead than I am. And so I come in under them. I get blessed because of who they are. But you know what? There can come a time where we change from being a Potiphar to becoming a Joseph. You may be the only believer in your family. Can I tell you? God will bless your family just because of you. And then maybe somebody else will come along. They'll get an umbrella, and the umbrella begins to expand. I'm going to ask Mr. Tim Laterette to come up here for a moment. This is unrehearsed, but he'll do good. I want you to hold that. It's great when there's one person in a family or at a workplace. You may have a bunch of Potiphars at your workplace. They're foul mouthed. They're like the Marine that Chuck Swindoll talked about. They're just out there. But you walk into your workplace, and you know what you got? You got this. It's a covering. And those people can come under God's influence because of you. Now, I asked him to come up here for a reason. You know what happens when a group of people called a church family get together and they all have an umbrella? The umbrella gets a lot bigger. And you not just have one, you got two, you got three, you got five, you got 10. And all of a sudden, the umbrella can bless a village, a town, a county. It can impact a state. It can touch the world. We're doing the Flag Project, 195 countries in the world, and I think we're on 82. And, you know, we're giving money to every country in the world, $500 or ministry equivalent. And so we have an umbrella over us as a church. You know how big it is? It's going to touch the world. Because we're going to get to all 195 countries. I want us to understand the value of belonging when you have more than one believer together. The umbrella gets bigger. And the larger the umbrella, the more influence it can have wherever it goes. There's one thing I want you to totally understand. Don't devalue yourself when you feel like you're the Lone Ranger in your home and family or at the workplace or wherever you go. You know why? Be a Joseph. And when you show up, everybody else gets blessed because of a covering over your life. So the church family is a covering. And when you walk into a group of people that have individual umbrellas, guess what? You are setting yourself up and positioning yourself to be blessed by God in ways that you may not even realize. Tim did an amazing job. Give him a hand. The only thing better if it would have been like Mary Poppins and Tim flew away, you know. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate that. Here's a couple quotes as we get to wrapping up. Number one, may God place a hedge of protection around you and your household. You know why? It's the umbrella blessing. It doesn't mean that bad things will not happen to you. That can still happen. But there's something special about serving God, and there's a covering on your life. And here's another quote. I've used this one before. I love it. I thank God for protecting me from what I thought I wanted and blessing me with what I didn't know I needed. Let that soak in. Maybe you're here today and you are greatly disappointed in something. Could be a relationship, could be an opportunity, you're frustrated, you're saying, wait a minute, I don't get it, it's not fair. Let the providence of God, the covering over your life, direct you, because you never know what God is protecting you from and what he wants to give you because you didn't know you needed it. That's who God is, and that's where trust comes in. So six things, six benefits. Number one, church family lasts forever. That's way cool. Number two, it's worldwide. Number three, it's where I experience life change. Be a grace dispenser wherever you go. Number four, give and receive encouragement. Become a world-class encourager. Be known for it. Number five, it's where I discover and use my spiritual gifts. Live in your sweet spot. Figure it out. Find it. Number six, the church family can be a covering over your life of God's blessing when you join in with other people and you're on mission together. Conclusion. Bill Hybels said you need two things in life to really be fulfilled. The first is this. You need to learn to love God. Be on your own spiritual journey. I mean, you got to go after it yourself through Christ and know him personally. And secondly, listen, we learn to love people. You know why? They last forever. And when you find a group of people who you're on mission with and they love you and you love them, it's not perfect, but I'll tell you what, you're moving forward, you're doing projects, you're doing breakfasts on Friday morning, you're doing missions moment, and or you're raising money, you're doing something together. I tell you, that's the sweet spot of life. Loving God and then serving and moving through life with people who love you and you love them. Let's bow for prayer. I just feel compelled that I want to give every person here an opportunity to be a part of the church family through a relationship with Christ in case you don't have one. Many of you do, but I just want to lead us in a simple prayer. You can pray it silently after me if that's where your heart is leading. Father in heaven, thank you that you love me. Thank you that I'm valuable in your kingdom. Forgive me of all my sins. Trying to do life apart from you, on my own, in my own self-efforts. I believe that Jesus died and rose again, and he's alive forevermore. Right now, by faith, I open the door of my heart, and I invite Jesus Christ into my life. Or I recommit my life to him. May he be my Savior and my Lord from this moment forward. Father, I pray for everyone here today and those listening online that you will be our God. And we thank you for the privilege of being a part of a church family that can make a difference in our own lives as well as the lives of people around the world whom we serve. I pray for your anointing upon each person here, that wherever they go, they will be a grace dispenser. and they will have a covering over their life, that every person that comes into the sphere of their influence will be touched by your power because they are carrying around inside them the Godhead, the Trinity, the three in one, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for the privilege of serving you today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.